The Fourth Friend, a Jackman and Evans thriller, written by Joy Ellis and read by Richard Armitage.
Prologue. Carter McLean stared out of the plane's tiny window at a vast cumulonimbus. The pilot had assured them they would make it through the storm, and Carter trusted him. He had flown with him before. The plane dropped suddenly, making his stomach lurch, and then there was nothing but grey cloud and rain lashing the window. They were in. Carter enjoyed an adrenaline rush. Throughout his life, he'd never taken the easy route, and now his job as a CID drug squad detective kept him where he liked to be, on the front line. So with a grim smile, he pulled his safety belt a little tighter and braced himself for a bumpy ride. In retrospect, maybe he would not have been so cavalier if he had known that the plane was approximately 30 seconds from going down. The engine noise changed. The steady thrum seemed to break up. Cough. Carter peered through the sheets of rain slashing across the cockpit windows. He frowned, not understanding what he was seeing. Trees. He put his hands over his ears. The aircraft lurched drunkenly to one side, and it seemed to scream. Carter's mouth was dry as sandpaper. He looked at his four best friends. Just moments ago they had been discussing Ray's stag weekend and his forthcoming wedding. Now their faces were masks of horror and disbelief. They knew what was coming. Carter felt no panic. Instead, he felt cheated. He was 36, fit and healthy. He had all his teeth, a full head of hair. It was too soon. Sounds inside the cabin became hollow, slow and echoing. When it happened, the impact was not sudden. The six-seater Piper Seneca jerked and slewed, ricocheting across the uneven ground. Then, with a scream of tearing metal, one wing ripped away and the plane's nose dug into the earth, throwing the tail section high into the air and flinging its occupants forward towards the cockpit. Carter couldn't move. He had no idea why, and no inclination to find out. For a while, he seemed to float in the eerie silence. It was a cold, disturbing quiet. The only thing he could hear was a ringing in his ears. He lay, suspended. It could have been hours, days even. Then, from the remains of the cockpit, a tangle of exposed wiring suddenly fizzed and spat. Carter needed to act. He moaned. He tried to move and found that something was pinning him to the back of the pilot's seat. It took a while to realize that it was Jack's weighty torso, crushing him and forcing the air from his lungs. He tried to slide from under his friend's motionless body and cried out at the pain that tore through his chest. The safety belt, before it tore free, must have broken his ribs. He thought of the wire, fizzing like a lit fuse, and knew he had to get out fast. Groaning, he managed to ease out from beneath Jack. "Guys?" Was that his voice? He sounded like an 8-year-old. "Hey, guys? Are you okay?" He waited. "Oh, sweet Jesus." Tom's Scouse accent filtered across the cabin's gloom. "Carter, is that you?" He closed his eyes in relief. Tom was his best mate. Tall, dark, and far from handsome, but all heart. "Yeah, it's me. Are you injured, mate?" "I don't know, but my head bloody well hurts." There was a pause. "Oh my God, the others?" Carter stared across Jack's lifeless body. He had seen many dead bodies. It was his job. But those bodies, although often terribly harmed, were strangers. This was one of his closest friends.